The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Les Miserables, the arena concert spectacular, is coming to the Three Arena next month. Killian Donnelly, tenor, singer and stage actor, is playing Jean Valjean and he joins me now. Killian, how do you feel about Les Mis? Is it part of your DNA at this stage?
Yeah, I owe Les Mis a lot. As Cameron McIntosh says, we all owe that little Gazette girl an awful lot. It's been 2007 is when I first joined.
Gosh.
And I joined as a swing. Now, I've been in and out of the show since then. I've gone off to do other things. But Les Mis has always come back because as you age, there are other roles for you to play. So I probably started when I was 23, just covering ensemble roles.
So a swing is somebody who can do anything?
A swing is someone who, there's 15 male roles in Les Mis. And a swing would cover 10 of the ensemble male roles. Because in a 12-month contract, you get 4 weeks holidays, you get sick days, and with 10 male roles, they can go off sick. So I have to step in and play that role.
But when you got that job, you thought, I'm never going to get a chance to be on stage.
Never going to be on stage.
I'm
just going to be in the wings. I was never off. And it was the best training because I always tell this joke, this story where my mom would always be like, who are you on for tonight? And she doesn't know any of the roles. I'd be like, oh, I'm Kofarak tonight. And tomorrow I'm Brujon. And then the matinee I'm Comfair. And she's like, oh, wow, hasn't a clue who they are. But
oh, well, has to know. I mean,
well, she's there reading Victor Hugo's novel.
But I want to, because you mentioned your parents, and I'm thinking about you heading off to London with your demo and your CVs and trying to get an agent and everything. Was that scary?
Very, but exciting. It was nervous. There was a lot of nerves, but the idea, so 2007, it wasn't like you just had a social media page or a profile. You still had a hard copy, a CD and your CV, and you knocked on doors.
How old were you then?
2007, I was probably 23, I think.
Right.
23, 24. And I knocked on about 20 agents' doors. There was a book called Spotlight, which had musical theatre agents. And one met me and they said, look, there are auditions for Les Miserables in 3 weeks. I'll get you a first round. If you get a recall, I'll sign you. So I got a recall. So that agent signed me. And then going through about 6-7 rounds over the next 6 months, I get Les Mis.
Mm-hmm.
And what I learned was Les Mis loved that I was, I had, it sounds so big-headed of me to say, I had this natural talent. But I know that came from growing up in the Amdram background here in Ireland. Because you go on for an Amdram show, but you're also lugging set in one and you're sewing the costumes yourself. Going into Les Mis, I was there going, how can I help? What can I do?
Uh-huh.
I would sing, I would act, I would ask questions about the characters. And they loved this. I wasn't professionally trained. I wish I was, because I struggled learning music. I struggled with dots of music and learning notes. How high does your voice go to, Killian? What's your top note? I was like, I don't know.
You couldn't answer those questions.
Couldn't answer any of it. But Les Mis allowed me to grow and they saw potential and nourish that. And they liked that I was untouched by like a musical theatre course.
So how did you find your niche then when you were growing up? Like how did you find out you were good at this?
My mom sang. My dad sings and they play music. Mom used to collect a musical theatre magazine that went out weekly and it would have demos of Phantom of the Opera and she'd play them all around the house. And my dad, when I was 11, gave me a CD, Colin Wilkinson, Stage Heroes.
Oh, incredible.
And track 7, I believe, was Bring 'Em Home. And I went, what is this? What is this? And he goes, that's a show called Les Miserables, Bring 'Em Home. And then that just brought me into that world. And 10, 11
so
years later.
They were sort of steeped in it, if you like.
Yes.
So it was in the house, it was in.
Yeah.
But you didn't think of going and studying then?
No, it wasn't an option at the time in Ireland. We didn't have musical theatre courses.
Uh-huh.
Now we have a few of them. There's one in Cork, some in Malahide. But you had to pick up everything and move to London. So it wasn't, I didn't think for a second that you could study musical theatre or acting.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't something that I thought I'd be able to do.
But clearly you've learned how to protect your voice and how to manage your voice.
Yeah. Well, I was talking to you about this, being conscious of your voice is everything. So a musical theatre performer said to me, my voice is my mortgage. So I need to look after it.
Mm.
It's a muscle the size of your baby fingernail that you need to look after. And the common cold will knock me out of a show. Because there's the song Bring 'Em Home finishes on this very light note and it's falsetto. And the first thing to go in a common cold is your falsetto. And then, so that note isn't there. So half of Bring 'Em Home isn't there. And you're having to phone up and you go, I've a cold, I can't do this. So you take all the medicines and steam.
It doesn't work.
So you have to live like really, really carefully and steam and sleep. I've two kids now, so I'm up really early. And it actually helps having the kids because you're exercising your voice from a very early hour. And by the time you get to do it, you're kind of warmed up already.
How old are your children?
6 and 2.
Okay.
Tig and Fia.
But they might be bringing things home to you as well in the house.
Absolutely.
You know, little bugs and things that are probably
new.
First
time Tig went to a Montessori, he just came back with snots. And we're like, and I'm having to say, I'm on stage tonight. but you just manage it.
Mm-hmm. It's just interesting how difficult a common cold makes your life. You know, I get a common cold. It's annoying for the listeners because I sound snuffly, but you just keep going. You can.
It is. I always think of radio presenters because they will be, you'll be talking. And if you need to cough, you can turn your head away from the mic. But I can't do that in the middle of a show or in the middle of a song. And it's the worst thing is when you get a frog in your throat and I go, there's 3 minutes of a song ahead of me now. I just need to go and I'm fine. But no, I need to keep going with the frog. So yeah, it sounds like the most simplest thing. But when you're in front of 1,000 people in London or with this arena tour, 15, 20,000,
mm-hmm.
you can't turn your head and cough. So you just really have to look after yourself. There's no, when I first moved to London, it was going out and meeting friends and doing the show and having the best time. And now I love being in bed before 11 o'clock. Les Mis will finish at 10:30. I'll get home at about midnight and then I try and get myself to sleep as much sleep as I can.
Do you find it hard though to go to sleep after a performance like that?
There's an adrenaline buzz that keeps going to
or maybe you're 2 a.m. Are you used to it or?
I am used to it now.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a lot of, get yourself up and seize the day and do as much as you can in the day. And I like to say, my day is flipped. I work at night. So I'm going to do as little as possible in the day. I'm going to get myself out of bed. If I go to sleep at 2 a.m. when I'm in London, I'll try and get out of bed at 10 a.m. And then I will walk the dog and I'll make a dinner and then I will make my way into do the show because you need all the energy you can to pour into those 3-4 hours. And by the end of it, you're exhausted.
So is the bulk of your working life in London now or where is
it? Working life is London, but my personal life is Dublin. My wife and I live in Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
With two kids. So when a job comes up, I can't accept the 12-month contracts at the moment. I used to, but now it's like if a lovely 3-month contract comes along, we can make that work by going over and back. But with this show, this has been a gift where it's like we need you for 3 weeks and then we don't need you for 6 weeks and then we need you for 2 weeks. It's just been... a gift. So I get to be husband, I get to be dad, I get to be home with the kids.
But your wife is in the business as well, isn't
she?
Yeah,
Louise. Yeah. Louise is the triple threat. I'm the double one. Louise, our paths were crossing when we lived in London. And she would have been in We Will Rock You, Mary Poppins, the lead in Singing in the Rain. And we went to see each other and we'd have mutual friends. But she said, I'm done with the business in London. I'm going to go back home. Now she works at the Billy Barry Stage School. She choreographs herself. And I was doing Les Mis in the Bord Gáis in 2018. And I did that thing of, hey, do you want a ticket? Do you want to see me as Jean Valjean?
That's a pretty cool thing to do.
Smooth, Killian. So I got her a ticket and the rest is history. Yeah, we had our first date.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and she's been giving me notes ever since.
What about the children? Have you got two Billy Barry kids in the house?
We did have a Billy. Tig was a Billy. And then Tig just has this energy where he just can't sort of focus on the one thing. So we took him out of Billy's and he's more swimming. He's more football. But they're singers. They're definitely singers.
Really?
Yeah, they're definitely singers.
So you can hear that. You see,
yeah, there's happy birthdays and they're in key. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, okay. So we'll see. Whatever they want to do, we'll sort of.
You go push. With it.
Yes, absolutely. Because I never thought I'd be in this. I grew up in a house which, when you sang, you were never told to stop. It was, you could be as loud. We grew up in the countryside, so you could be as loud as you want. You could blare music and sing as loud as you want. So we kind of have that same thing where mm-hmm. someone's singing, you just let them. Tig, we have a piano in the front room. Tig has started to just bang the piano.
And you don't say, do your scales.
8 o'clock in the morning, and he just has a passion for playing the piano. What's coming out, we don't know, but he absolutely loves
it. You just let him at it.
Yeah.
That's probably the way to do it, right?
It's the moment that you start directing them and telling them this is the way to do it that they go, nah, I don't want to do it anymore.
Not interested anymore.
Have to just let them find it themselves.
And you weren't into sports and stuff when you were in school.
And I was good at it, apparently. Mm-hmm. Gaelic football I was very good at, and it just didn't interest me. I enjoyed everyone. I enjoyed all the buzz of everything. But as soon as it would rain, I was like, I'm not playing in the rain. It's raining. I'm getting wet.
See, I can understand that.
That's the passion. Come on. Oh, you're all right. But I did. So I did it for a while. I did Gaelic football in school. But the music and the singing and the acting just took over. And it wasn't until I was 15 that I got into my local musical society in the Amdram in Navan.
They would take you.
And that was my gang. Yeah, that's when I found my gang and that's when I found my tribe. And mm-hmm. this is what I love.
And here's where you end up.
Because I always thought musical theatre was getting you'd keep it quiet. If you admit it in secondary school, I love musical theatre. I'd be like, what?
Yeah, I suppose it's not one that all the lads would be fighting to be involved in, right?
Not at all. And you were seeing, well, something weird there. What are you into? And then suddenly, you'd go to these musical theatre societies and there's lads with beer bellies and bald heads drinking pints going, do you know the recording of Jesus Christ Superstar is one of the favourites? And you're like, oh my God. And they're twice your age. And the girls were the most beautiful girls I've ever seen in my life. And they're all dancing and you have to do Farmer and the Cowman from Oklahoma and you have to pick a girl up and spin her around. I was like, this is amazing. I'm home. This is my gang.
So tell me about this show then. What can people expect from Les Mis?
You are going to get the most intimate version of Les Mis you've ever seen. A lot of people say their first introduction was the movie. Mm-hmm. And this is a staged concert, like the 10th anniversary concert, say. But there are cinema screens involved, which are choreographed to the show. So
I'm surprised to hear you say that's going to be intimate, because it's huge.
It's huge. So it gives you the best of both. And that was Cameron's feeling the whole time. You've the biggest orchestra that they've ever had, which I think is a 70-piece orchestra. There's 35 on stage. There's over 100 people on stage. And it is a staged concert. So there is movement and changes and lighting changes. But the screens move and the cameras are choreographed so that you are getting a cinematic feel. So my example, Bring 'Em Home, if I was to do that in London, I'd use my arms, I'd use my hands, because you need to control the focus. In this, I can blink or I can just look to the left and it's huge. So it's far more intimate experience than you mm-hmm. get.
So everyone can see your every move. So you can't get a tickly nose. Or
can't get a frog. You can't flare your nostrils. No, it's all there.
All there on the big screen. And so the dates are the 29th of May until the 6th of June.
Correct.
That's when. So you'll be quickly, very soon into rehearsals now.
I think in 2 weeks I'm over to London for just a refresher. Thank you.
Okay, but tickets are on sale now for the shows. And just a reminder again, the 29th of May to the 6th of June. And it's called the Arena Concert Spectacular.
Les Mis, yeah, you'll be able to find it.
Killian, great pleasure to have you in. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
The Claire Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.